It is time now for Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim, of course, is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, sports, the holidays. Well over 47 years experience with that. Let's bring in the jolly old fellow himself before he heads out tonight on his trip around the world. Here's Jim Lynch.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I'm trying to get Marshall to watch something that absolutely resonates with that trip around the world, and he just says, he claims he doesn't have the time, but when he sees it, it's
I will when I get home today. I'll watch it when I get home today.
You got 3 minutes.
Anyway. I've got work to do here. Anyways,
no, all you wonderful people, I wish you the peace and joy of the Hanukkah and Christmas season and all the celebrations of this time of year. May there be peace, joy, and love in your life. Or lives. I want to start off with something which is a wish going forward for all citizens of the United States, that they sit back and just understand for their own good and the good of the country that the impeachment really of Donald Trump has nothing really to do with the individual. The whole process, the whole exercise, the whole activity is dedicated to preserving the integrity of our government. No matter who is the president, if the House decides that that person has done something to impact the government of our nation negatively, it is their responsibility to take action, and that's what the House has done. But do yourself a favor, do everybody a favor, please. Don't allow yourself to personalize this with the president or with some of his folks. And please don't personalize this with the Republican and Democratic Party. This nation started without parties, okay? And it has prospered a long time with and without them. And what we want to do is preserve our liberty and our freedoms to practice whatever we want, as long as it doesn't go against the laws of the Constitution and the state and local laws. So try and kick back and get into that. There's so much hyperbole going all over the place. Unfortunately, many things are being lied about and so forth. Get beyond that. This is for our government, our country, our freedom. So-and-so happens to be in the office now, fine. Bill Clinton was in the office, fine. Richard Nixon was in the office, fine. It had nothing to do with those people personally, though it evolved sometimes into that as it is now. But the key is your freedom. The key is the government that helps you to prosper and grow in a productive way.
What else should we do?
Jim, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I thought we lost you there for a second.
No, it was one of those pregnant pauses.
Okay.
Where those great thoughts come from the outer realms.
I used, and I'm going to tell this story. I shouldn't tell this story, but I will tell this story. Worked for a great broadcaster, a man by the name of Harry Thayer, and he had Parkinson's disease. And before they had all these medications that could help you, but he would show up. He was very committed, whether you agreed with his politics or not. He was very committed and always showed up at town meetings in Kingston, New York, city meetings, council meetings. There used to be a throughway traffic circle outside of Kingston that was just never, it wasn't lit at night, okay? And he started calling that the black hole of Calcutta. And before long, Governor Cuomo, I'm not talking about this Governor Cuomo, but the original Governor Cuomo, whenever he referred to the Kingston Thruway Circle, referred to it as the black hole of Calcutta. But he had Parkinson's disease. And so when you were at a public meeting and you were covering it for the news and you were filming it or you were there, he would get up to do his contrary to what the legislature was doing. And because he had Parkinson's disease, there would be sometimes 20 and 30 second pauses, okay, in between when he would continue. When everybody learned of this, I bring this up during the holiday season because we could use more of this. People would wait. They knew, okay? And they would wait for him to get through those pauses to finish what he did. Whether they agreed with what he was saying or not, people in the audience would wait. People, legislators would wait. It was pretty interesting to see.
And it's actually not a bad story to tell, as you say, during the holiday season, because what is needed, and these words are, they turn out sounding so hollow, but what's really needed is people to pay a little more attention and see what they can give instead of what they can take.
Exactly. Exactly. Those are beautiful moments. Humanity steps to the fore, and that's marvelous. If only we had a little bit more of that today, it'd be a heck of a lot happier.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, that doesn't sell. So people don't sit around I think one of my most non-surprising discoveries is that, you know, people are starting to feel, as they wear their watches and carry their phones, phantom pulses in their body.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the notifications, from the this and the that. And I'm watching an entire generation turn into shrimp, so...
One of the great things about Christmas and about Hanukkah is that, and this is true, you notice it on social media. I notice it on Facebook. I notice it on Instagram. Is not really a politicized medium. Instagram isn't.
Really?
Some people post up some things, but mostly there's pictures of things that people are doing or things like that. But I've noticed it on Facebook, I've noticed it on Twitter and social media, is the holidays really cuts down. People remove themselves for a day and a half to 2 days from this political warfare that is going on between supposed people of red color and blue color. And I've noticed it on, like I said, big time on social media. And there's just as not as much acrimony. And if people can take the time during this holiday season to separate the acrimonious politics out from everything else, wouldn't it be great if we go back to doing that in regular life? Because I remember my grandmother was one of the few Democrats up here in this northwest corner, was where I was growing up, and she got along perfectly well with Republicans and they had various political differences, but they managed to keep those political differences in the box when it related to dealing with one another in public. And you notice that happens during the holiday season. It really does. It should be something people just do all year long.
That's a marvelous segue into these holidays and getting together with family and friends. It would be wonderful if folks just become into greater awareness that they have an opportunity to just listen to folks who might not have exactly the same perception of things as they do, and also speak in a way that, if you're talking about various facts and so forth, treat them as facts. Don't personalize them. It would be a great exercise, following up on what Marshall has said, to maybe begin to get into a more gentle and productive social discourse with our family and our friends and the world at large.
And there's another element.
There's no reason to make ourselves or others unhappy. Life has its own challenges without creating more of them. So I would love to have people get into a greater consciousness of being just very productive, positive.
The other...
go ahead.
No, apropos, and this is important. I don't know if you're discovering this at all, but I have found that people's ability to listen and also read through something has decreased alarmingly. And so people sort of, they're most of the time they're listening and doing something, and you can hear them just going away if they are actually conversing verbally, which is also falling out. It also contributes massively, mightily to misunderstanding. I think I spend a higher percentage of time sorting out people who think that they're doing exactly what the other person's asked them to do, because that's how they interpreted a text or whatnot, with no concept of what the person was actually talking about or trying to convey. And I just think that some very bad habits in terms of communicating and relating have been encouraged, let's just say. And I would look forward to, and of course it seeps into politics, of course. And don't forget, it's an industry, so yeah, people are very committed to making the money that they need to make, and no one wants quiet and harmony. And what's even more, let's not forget that after 3 years of pre-election, we're finally in an election year, so. It's going to be fascinating, literally, to see how battered everybody is, how interested they are.
So. I speak for myself, courtesy of Marshall's bringing this up, in telling you that I'm preparing for a couple of family gatherings at which there will be folks of a different approach to things than my own, and I'm cautioning you and I'm cautioning myself in the process to stay more aware and very aware of in responding to people's opinions and giving your own opinion, that I not personalize the situation so that the person feels that they're a little under the gun. Perhaps it's because I've got at least 47 years of experience, good, bad, and indifferent. I'm trying my best to come around to this.
You know, when we talk about the holiday season, and years ago I started filming church service for the local Access TV station, and I came out of the church services after not really listening. This is not really listening to the spoken part, but better in a much better mood than I went in. And it finally dawned on me, the hymns that were sung and that were played during the church service were very uplifting. And when you look at this time of year, and if you ever go to a Christmas Eve service, you can't help but come out of it uplifted. And if I remember back to the days when my father was alive and we celebrated Hanukkah at the same time. As a kid, I used to really love the way the adults got all involved in Hanukkah, because there's basically almost a week full of Hanukkah. And you have things like finding the matzah. The matzah's hidden, right? And then whoever wins finds the matzah.
That's Passover.
No, but we used to do it. We did it twice a year, because I was explaining, Avi Dresser and I laughed about this the other day, because during Passover, it was always, it gave more people a chance to have fun and possibly get the matzah, even though I never found the matzah at two times a year. I was always terrible. But then you had the chocolates that were
It's the gelt, Hanukkah gelt.
You had that.
The dreidel.
But every day you also had presents every day. But
not
you
in
also
our
had,
family.
But you also had music, and you had songs that my father would have us sing and stuff like that. And no, we did.
Well, I was just thinking of Adam Sandler and the Hanukkah song, simply because there are not that, there are wonderful Christmas carols.
Christmas carols, but there are songs that you sing with Hanukkah.
Okay.
But anyways, I just think it all takes the place of the other garbage that we deal with on a daily basis, and that's why people feel halfway decent at this time of the year. I really believe that. It replaces all that other stuff that people would normally go to Fox News, to CNN, to MSNBC, that all vanishes for about a day and a half, 2 days.
You know, your point is a great one when you bring up the music at a service, a church service or a singing yard service. The harmony of the music unites us, but also the silence in which we listen to that music creates a greater harmony within our basic selves. And I'm glad we're really having this chat in light of the kind of volatile year, to say the least, we've had. You know, it's good to get into the repose of just kind of some conversation that is really dedicated to helping us get on with life and making life a little bit better. That said, these holidays come once a year or so. We should find a way to incorporate that spirit into our daily, weekly, monthly life so that we can go back to the goodness within each of us and focus on that and let it surface and let it bubble up and let it be exposed to our friends and family and neighbors and people that we meet, because that will help us in terms of getting back into a spirit that we have had for 100 years or more, no matter how difficult things have been, wars and so forth, where we always have been able to come back and be grateful for our government and grateful for one another. That's something we really have to strive to do, primarily for ourselves and our families, to be happy. It's not satisfying somebody else. It's satisfying ourselves. And if you're productive and if you're positive, the money comes along, but more importantly, the happiness comes along.
Well, what more could you wish for? The happiness.
That's right. After that, there's nothing else.
Right. But
I beg to differ with you two.
What?
I wish
you'd rather have the money?
A few more wins for the Giants.
Have a few more passes.
I'm sorry. I mean, that's the only
way. Yeah, but the Packers looked good last night.
Yeah, but for the Giants, you know, I mean, I'm tired of these 3 and 4 win seasons. I mean, at the beginning
they,
of the
they come at the end.
at the beginning of the season, Jim, a friend of mine who's a Patriot fan, Wayne Uverard, said, "So are the Giants going to have 8 wins this year?" And I said, "Well, if you count next year, they probably will." So I'm
hopefully. Hopefully it's not more than 2 years.
Yeah, I know it seems rather insignificant, but when every once in a while you wish that the Giants would win a few more games, the Rangers wouldn't wait every 50 years to win a Stanley Cup, because that's about the average that the Rangers win a Stanley Cup. Thank God I got the Yankees, Jim. Otherwise, I'd really be in big trouble. You know, I mean, between the Rangers and the Knicks. Oh, and the Knicks, last time they were even close to a world championship was when Patrick Ewing played with them. I mean, and he's got a son that's coaching now. That's how long ago that was. So I know we wish for peace and we want love, but a little help for our sports teams here in New York as well, you know.
Okay, well, we're going to send it your way. I'm empathic with you because in my 47-plus years of experience, some of which you weren't born yet, I was a Dodger rooter and then a Mets rooter. So I know your feelings. I know you're hurt.
There you go. There's, you know, and the Red Sox has proven to us all there's hope for us all, because
amen, and the Cubs as well.
There you go.
100 years.
So
100 years. Would you believe that?
I know. Oh, gosh. And I blame my grandmother. I'm a Ranger fan because my grandmother used to be a Ranger fan. Can you imagine that? I was taught to be a Ranger fan by my grandmother. Amazing.
I can imagine that. The Rangers were quite something in their day. They really were. I remember the first game I went to. I was going to school in Jersey. I was about 15. And they took us into the garden. You know, we had the real cheap seats, like you were in heaven. And what an experience to see these guys skating like that. I went to school with some guys who were Canadians, who they were like Olympic skaters, these guys. They take that puck and they do circles around the rest of us.
You know, I in the early 80s, I went to, I got a pair of tickets to go to Madison Square Garden. I went with John Matthews, and we went, and I was amazed at how, because I hadn't been to a hockey game in, gosh, at that point, in 25 years, how the crowd had changed to where it was 50% women, 50% men, and the women at these hockey games were just the most astounding looking women I ever saw in my life. And the minute the puck dropped, it made NFL cheering like seem like baby spirit. I mean, the people at hockey games.
Oh, they're the most
violent, especially.
But
we,
it's also a much smaller, you know, it's intimate.
But we, you know, we were right down by the ice, and yeah, we were up by the plexiglass, and oh, what goes on there, I tell you. But we're getting away from the spirit of the holiday season, which is, you know, sooner or later, we're all gonna live to. We all gotta. Soon we got one planet, and we all gotta learn to live together sooner or later.
The coexistence is an interesting concept. Also, just broadening out the lens slightly. Do you know this is the first time since 1803 that there is no Christmas Mass at Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Really? Oh, that's right. My God. Yeah.
Yeah, but just.
Oh,
just,
my God.
Just, yeah. You know, and the thing is, in this hyper speedy news universe, you know, something happens and then it's like you must feed the beast, give them something else. So no one really remembers what happened 6 months ago, 9 months ago.
Yeah, well, you know, we should take a moment to just be so grateful to those firefighters who went into Notre Dame, braving death and basically helped save it. But that is something, I remember being in that, the glass and everything, you know, years ago. And it's, as Marshall was saying, there's something about some of these experiences that really bring you up short and make you understand who you are and what's important.
Yeah, this is like 216 years, right? 1803? Mm. 206, I don't know if my math's okay. But, you know, it's longer than, you know, 24 hours.
Right.
So, just in reflecting and dealing with the people that you love, even when you're not feeling totally loving towards them, you know, just again, a step back or wider lens, all of these things can help.
That's right. No question about it.
All right, Jim. Well, you know, next year will be the last update for the year.
You mean next week?
Next week.
We're on our way to bigger and better things. This is a lovely show. Thank you so much for it. And love, peace, and joy to all of you out there.
And Merry
Make
Christmas.
The best of it.
Happy Christmas.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robinhood Radio.